At this morning's session, Mr. Ian MacLeod, the Shadow Chancellor, was loudly applauded after a 30-minute speech on economic policy and taxation. He rejected the government's compulsory wage policy as a failure, but he was careful not to rule out other forms of control. He repeated promises to reduce income tax and surtax, to improve the tax position of married women at work, to make radical changes in capital gains, corporation and closed company taxes, to abolish the selective employment tax. And he announced that the party had made an exhaustive study of how to change the tax system, adding, "We will so revolutionize it that the ancient values of hard work, thrift, and honest dealing will be renewed again." The general tenor of the preceding debate was for fewer controls, lower income tax, and more incentive for saving. Hard work should not be penalized. It was government expenditure that should be cut. The conference carried by overwhelming majorities two resolutions, one rejecting the prices and incomes legislation as contrary to the conservative principle of free enterprise, the other calling for the taxation system to be changed from being a penalty on earnings to a charge on spending. The threat of a national strike in the engineering industry starting in 10 days' time brought two developments this afternoon, one following rapidly on the other. First, the executive of the Confederation of Shipbuilding and Engineering Unions, meeting in York, announced that they decided to take all steps necessary to make the strike successful. Shortly afterwards, it was disclosed that Mrs. Barbara Castle, Secretary for Employment and Productivity, had invited the executive and representatives of the Engineering Employers Federation to meet her in London on Monday afternoon. Both sides promptly notified their acceptance. The strike has been called by the Amalgamated Union of Engineering and Foundry Workers after a long deadlock over demands for a substantial pay increase and improved fringe benefits. But ballots by a few of the 30 unions in the Confederation who will be involved have shown majorities against a national stoppage. Mr. Alfred Roberts, who presided at today's meeting of the Confederation's executive, said the decision to go ahead with the strike was approved on a show of hands, with only two voting against. As the executive was continuing its meeting to arrange details of the strike, the secretary, Mr. George Barrett, came out to tell reporters of the invitation from Mrs. Barbara Castle. He added, "We have accepted. There was no argument about it." Our industrial correspondent says Monday's meeting may be seen as a last-ditch attempt to avert a crippling stoppage, a strike that could throw over 3 million people out of work and cost the country a great loss of exports. Mrs. Castle and her officials face a very tough job, for a settlement satisfactory to the unions could well go right through the roof of the incomes policy, and that's something the government just dare not allow in the present economic climate. The National Coal Board has offered miners increases of up to 15 shillings a week on the minimum rates. This would bring the new minimum to £13.12 for surface workers and £14.12 for those underground. The miners' union had claimed 27 and 6 months more than these amounts for each category. The French government has refused to approve plans for the purchase by the Italian car firm Fiat of a large number of shares in the Citroën company held by the Michelin Tire Organization. A communique from the Prime Minister's office in Paris said the government decision was based on a desire to maintain the independence of one of France's major industrial concerns. The proposed agreement could not be allowed to affect employment or the stability of the motor vehicle market in France. But the government had no objection to cooperation between the two companies. Officials of the Italian government, which had approved the plan, expressed disappointment at the French veto. The Fiat company said it was studying the situation. A leading East German opera producer, Horst Bonnet, has been sentenced to 2.5 years imprisonment for duplicating and distributing leaflets condemning the Warsaw Pact invasion of Czechoslovakia as harmful to the socialist cause. His wife, Zabina, was given a 2-year sentence on a similar charge. They were tried secretly in East Berlin last week. Bonnet, who is about 35, is one of the chief assistants to Professor Walter Felsenstein, the world-famous Austrian opera producer who was director of the East Berlin Comic Opera. A correspondent in Berlin understands that Professor Felsenstein was shocked by the harshness of the sentence on a man who had evidently been a loyal communist for years, but who couldn't go along with the leadership on this issue. Political observers said the sentence appeared to be a serious warning to other East German intellectuals with similar views. At the Moscow trial of the five Russians who took part in a public protest against the occupation of Czechoslovakia, the prosecutor has demanded a sentence of 5 years exile to a Soviet provincial area for Dr. Pavel Litvinov, grandson of the former foreign minister, and 4 years exile for Mrs. Larissa Daniel, wife of the jailed Soviet writer. He said he was asking for these lighter sentences on the two, and for 3 years similar exile for another of the accused, because they had no previous convictions. But the remaining pair should be sent to prison or to a labor camp for 3 years, because they had been found guilty of previous offenses. The latest Gallup poll on the American presidential election shows Mr. Richard Nixon to be holding on to his substantial lead over the other two candidates. According to the poll, 44% of the voters are now for Republican Nixon, 29% for Democrat Humphrey, and 20% for Independent Wallace. Our Washington correspondent says this is the first time in 5 successive surveys by the Gallup organization that Mr. Wallace has not moved up. In fact, he's dropped 1 point. President Johnson has said he will not submit a new nomination for the office of Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, and he has asked Chief Justice Earl Warren to delay his planned retirement. In a statement issued in Washington, the president said he wanted Judge Warren to stay on the bench until emotionalism subsided and reason and fairness prevailed, a reference to the Senate filibuster which defeated his nomination of Mr. Abe Fortas as the new Chief Justice. The Senate filibuster was led by Republicans who challenged Mr. Fortas's close friendship with President Johnson. The United States Congress has finally approved the bill banning the mail-order sale of rifles, shotguns, and ammunition. It was passed by the House of Representatives today, following approval by the Senate yesterday after months of debate. The bill now goes to President Johnson for signature and will come into effect in December. Britain's only surviving liver transplant patient has been discharged from King's College Hospital in London 17 days after his operation. He received the liver of a 13-year-old child who died after an accident. The hospital said the patient's condition was entirely satisfactory. He was able to walk and would be returning to a part-time job after a short convalescence. The liver operation is said to be more difficult than a heart transplant, and it's thought there's only one other surviving patient in the world, in America. A 3-mile stretch of disused railway line near Cambridge is likely to provide the basis for the world's largest radio telescope system. The new radio telescope, which would cost about £2 million, is planned for Sir Martin Ryle's radio astronomy research team at Cambridge. Our science correspondent says it'll have 8 separate receiving dishes, 4 of which will be able to move along the old railway. This will make the new system equivalent to a single telescope with a dish 3 miles in diameter. It will pick up the radio waves from the most distant stars as they arrive anywhere over a very large area, some 10 square miles. The final details have not yet been signed, and the track has still to be acquired from British Rail. But the chairman of the Science Research Council, Professor Brian Flowers, presenting its annual report today, said he was confident that the building of the new telescope would go ahead next year. The chairman of the Arts Council, Lord Goodman, has said that the survival of the commercial theatre in this country is of the highest importance. Speaking at the Theatrical Management Association conference in London, he said he didn't think we wanted to live in a community where the state had the responsibility and duty to subsidise the arts entirely. But the chairman of the Arts Council Theatre Inquiry, Sir William Emrys Williams, said he believed public ownership would give the theatre the security it so desperately lacked. 33 provincial touring companies were in considerable jeopardy, and their survival in our larger towns was a social and artistic necessity. A world record price for an impressionist painting, £645,000, has been paid at an auction in New York. The painting Renoir's Le Pont des Arts, Paris, went to an American collector. The previous highest price, £588,000, was paid in London last December for Claude Monet's La Terrasse à Sainte-Adresse. A record price was also paid at the New York sale for a Pissarro. His Jardin des Tuileries, Matinée de Printemps, was bought by a private collector for In the space of 25 minutes, a total of 10 Impressionist paintings were sold for over £1.5 million. Mr. Avery Brundage has been re-elected president of the International Olympic Committee for a further 4 years by an overwhelming majority. Mr. Brundage, who is 81, has held the position since 1952. His only rival at today's meeting of the IOC in Mexico City was Count Jean de Beaumont of France. Lord Killannon of Ireland was elected vice president. Tomorrow's forecast, it'll start bright in northern and eastern districts, but most places will have some rain, and winds will reach gale force at times, especially in the west. Now here again are the main points of the news. The first full talks between Mr. Wilson and Mr. Ian Smith are said to have run into difficulty over the key issue of African advancement to government. The Conservative conference overwhelmingly approved Mr. Heath's immigration policy, but a speech by Mr. Enoch Powell received wide support. On economic policy, Mr. Ian MacLeod said that the next Conservative government would revolutionize the tax system. Mrs. Barbara Castle has called both sides in the engineering dispute to talks next Monday in an attempt to stop the threatened national strike. The French government has vetoed the takeover of the Citroën car firm by the Italian Fiat company. That's the end of the news.